We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Chaf Gimel, the concluding chapter on arrogance. The Magen Midovna had described how a person can run through life and as life goes on, he finds himself having less and less time or desire to pause and think about what his purpose is in the world, where he's come from, where he's supposed to be headed to. V'adam b'zochozot, we're up to the second paragraph. And if a person only thinks about the great potential he's been given to go in both directions, when a person thinks about this, yivez be'enav kol amalo she'amad ba'olam hazeh, so then he scorns all the effort that he's invested in this world, v'asagat mavein nafsho mitgoledet ba'avar ta'avot v'tanugim, where a person invests so much effort to attain the simple, the mundane, the desires that are fleeting. If a person stops and thinks that there is an end, at some point there is a period, you know, the end. And then a person has to analyze, okay, I was able to profit, I was able to lose, what did I do? Meaning, we rush through life and very often we don't have time for the things that are really important, and we think certain things have prime importance and we miss the boat. So that's what we said yesterday. A person should challenge himself to stop at intervals during the year and think about life. I thought that this year, where you had 2 days Rosh Hashanah running into Shabbos, so even here in Israel we had a longer time to rest, so that forced us, even those who came from work, and the first night of Rosh Hashanah you saw people in shul collapsing of tiredness. But by the second day, you have a little bit more koach, and then you start the 10 days of tshuva. You start with the Shabbos. I thought that was an excellent opportunity for people to really take to heart and think about what's happening here. It's one of the things that Chabad does on a birthday. You know, Chabad has a custom, they fast on a birthday. Because you've come full cycle, no birthday cake, but on the contrary, stop and think about where you come from, where you're going to. Some people go and visit graveyards on their birthday. Not exactly the Western concept of a birthday, but what happens is that very often in life, as we run through life, we stop thinking about what's really important for us. And again, like we said yesterday, in yeshiva it's easy. That's what we think about all the time. But once you run into the world and you barely find the time to stop and pray, and you find a hard time during prayer not thinking about the business, and in the business, you're for sure not thinking about prayer. So then a person can really lose focus of where he's headed to, or where you should be headed to. What?
Even in yeshiva, who is Talmid? Maybe for the rabbi is easy, but for the Talmid, it's not easy.
It's not easy?
For me, now is the hardest part of the life. When I left here, it will be nothing easy. Yeah. But now I'm here.
No, really? Food, interesting.
Depends how much you fight with yourself here.
Yeah. If I hear.
Don't take care about nothing, then you can be happy like.
But you don't have words. You don't have to provide food to get up whenever you want either.
Okay, he sees it differently. Okay. V'chasher yishmacher patom acher echu mevazehu. The Magid Midovna is taking us to those moments which we can sometimes remember a lifetime. When someone shames a person, when someone ridicules a person in front of other people. So I don't know how often this has happened to you guys, but I've had it a few times in my life where people have yelled at me publicly and told me how worthless I was. And I think I remember each time. I think that these are the things that really get the person and you remember them. But says the Magen Midovna, and this isn't his own invention, this is really a verse in Psalms. King David says this idea. Yomal bilvavo, a person should really think to himself, Halo ani yodea ba'atzmi od yoter v'yoter. He doesn't even know the half of it. He's telling me how worthless I am. Well, I have to say, I know better than him. King David used to listen when people would speak badly about him. He'd listen because he said, we say that it's a pasuk in Tehillim that we say. What's the pasuk before Tzadika Tamar Yifrach? Okay, let's see who's a genius here, right? That's how you tell a genius. We all know in order, but who can go backwards, right?
We don't know
okay. V'kamim alai mere'im tishmana oznai. King David said, when people who want to harm me, when they come upon me, tishmana oznai, then I listen. Because those who like you will view what you do in a positive light. So talk to a person's parents. They'll tell you what a wonderful guy he is. And even when he makes a mistake, they'll explain to you he didn't have enough sleep and it's an age thing. And they can see everything through a positive prism. But when you take someone who really can't stand the person, when they come, they're going to try to hit the nerves. They're going to try to really point a person's weaknesses. So King David said, when my enemies come against me, that's when I listen. When they have what to say, I have what to gain. Bakamim alay mereim. When those who want to harm me arise against me, tishmano oznai. Then my ears listen. So the Magen Midovna says, Magen Midovna says, when a person is being rebuked, scorned, mocked, yomal bilvavo, he should really say to himself, alo ani yodea beatzmi. I know even more kamama nivze veinav nimas rezono lomar beeta shu nivze macherim beinei atzmo nimas od yoter. King David says, you know what a pious person does? When other people are mocking him, he takes an accounting of himself and he thinks to himself, I'm worse than that. I'll because he said that, I'll tell you an interesting story. It was the afternoon of a fast day in... which yeshiva was it? I don't know if I should say which yeshiva it was. One of the famous yeshivas, a few hundred students, and they're all davening, and the chazan takes a long time, and when he concludes his Shmoneh Esrei, so the time is approximately sunset. And all the Rosh Yeshiva are there, and they should do tachanun, they should put their head down for that prayer, which we say directly after Shmoneh Esrei. And there was one student present who said out loud to the chazan, Kaddish, in other words, skip the prayer, it's too late. So all the teachers are there, and he announces this. So in this yeshiva, there was what's called a mashgiach, someone who was responsible for people's spiritual development. And he got up and he went to the center. Everyone was silent and waited to see what would happen. He went to the center of the bima and he said, would the brand new Rosh Yeshiva please bring me a Mishnah Brura Chelek Beis? So the young man turns white and he goes and brings Mishnah Brura. He says, now will the brand new Rosh Yeshiva please open to me to this and this chapter and this Siman. And then he reads from it and he reads out loud where the Mishnah Brura writes that when it's the few minutes after sunset, you still say Tachanun. And then he said, now let's say Tachanun. Okay. The story's not over yet. The student at the end of prayer disappeared to his room and wouldn't come out. A few days passed and the mashgiach sends word that he wants to speak to the student. And the student sent word back, he's leaving the yeshiva. He doesn't want to talk to the mashgiach. So the mashgiach insisted on meeting with him and he placated him and this student became one of the most famous rabbis of our time. He told over the story. And he said, that mashgiach was a surgeon. He was a top surgeon. He took out one half of my arrogance. And I feel so bad he didn't take out the other half. Right. You have to know the student. I mean, he was a great student. You know, other students would be like... right. So it takes a great teacher to understand that he has a great student and a great student. And he quoted the story, meaning the student who was... he's no longer with us, but he was one of the... after many years, right? So coming back to here, the Magen Midovna says, when David HaMelech says, Nivze ve'inav nim'as, he's giving a new pshat. What David HaMelech means to say is that when he was scorned by others, he would take an accounting of himself and he'd say, no, I'm even worse than that. Ve'yarav lo ha'bizayon hazeh mechavero, kemayim karim al nef shayifa. So when a person is striving for truth, so then if he has a rude awakening to the truth, so then that's something just like a person who's been working hard is happy with a cold cup of water, so too he is happy with this, what we would call rude awakening, but to him it's a pleasant awakening because he says, okay, now I could be more on track. And whatever people shame him and embarrass him in his eyes is like nothing compared to what he knows is the truth. So this is very interesting in stark comparison with what Mark Twain writes. Mark Twain writes something which I think will resonate with all of us. It's interesting, I don't think what we just read resonated with anyone. It's like nice to read about, theoretically, but practically, when a person speaks badly to us, we have a hard time hearing it, let alone thinking, hey, maybe he's got a point. So, depends on the person, really?
Yeah, so your Rebbe or someone you really feel loves you. That's why I felt a little odd when you made the parent analogy. Because the parents fit the fault in technicolor. They will look at you and if somebody says, you know, he's so sickly, he's always question how you don't know, he's been through all these diseases. It's true, they will look at it skewed. But they'll also, usually a parent knows their kid's faults also. And, I think it's a good relationship to point it out, possibly. I hope. Anyway.
If you have a good parent-child relationship, the parent can tell.
Yeah, but if he's not good, then...
Or you do always give an example in the home. The wife.
When you're at a certain age.
If he falls in technicolor, still loves you. And if it's a good relationship, one can maybe accept it. Anyway.
I've seen too many parents say that they didn't really know their children's strengths. I've seen parents whose children became anorexic and they didn't know it.
Yeah.
I've seen so many major events happening in children's lives where parents were not in the know. It's a little hard for me to say that, you know.
But I think that they oftentimes do recognize the faults of their children in a different way than someone who has an axe to grind and is just coming after King David. I mean, I don't know. I mean, and then you're able to go a step further and can the kid accept it? I hope so. I mean, Parfait Avot says take a tikka rav and make yourself a friend. So the person can tell you those things. You know, what's the expression? You know, love is blood, infatuation is blind, love is to the fullest and technicolor. There's something to that, I think. But you're right. I mean, many times it doesn't work.
I think that deserves a broader discussion. So Mark Twain said, when people compliment me, I always listen and feel like they didn't say enough, and then I feel bad that I feel that way, but I do. And I think that resonates with most people. Whereas this is a very hard level to aspire to. It's very hard to aspire to this level. But the greater a person is, and the more a person is really striving for truth, and the more a person values the truth he's striving for, the more this is worthwhile. We can take a crass example. When you start studying, so very often you'll learn with a study partner, what we call a chavrusa, and you have differing opinions, differing understandings as to how to understand the Gemara, and you argue back and forth. And then you suddenly realize that you have a proof that he's right. Do you bring out the proof? Do you mention to him, hey, I just noticed if you look closely at this word in Rashi, it says just like you. So when you start learning, that's the last thing you want to do. As you advance in learning, you realize that, of course you want to do that because you're striving for the truth. It's not about ego. It's not about getting it right. The more you study, the more that should be the case. We find throughout the Gemara that rabbis would sometimes bring a proof against themselves because it's not about me. It's not about the ego. It's about getting it right. So that's an example where it's a little bit easier to understand that when striving for the truth, so then one can even bring a proof against oneself. The issue is that here it's really touching on our personality, and that is more personal. So we have a harder time to strive for the truth, and we have a harder time to really accept someone's telling us that we're wrong. But just as we can see it when studying Talmud, so too we should realize it's something to strive for within our personal lives as well. And I don't think a person can really attain such a high level like King David, where he could say, when someone mocks me, I tell myself I'm worse than that. I don't think today we can attain that level and remain healthy psychologically. But we can advance, at least we hear about this, so we can advance and be a little bit less sensitive and be a little bit more open to hearing where we have to change. And that's it's one of the hardest things because...
But is it your place?
Is it what?
Is it place? Tell you where you need
does it matter? Why? If we can strive for what's right...
Tell you there's something you need to work on, I'm way out of place.
That's your problem, not my problem. But but I've had students come to me and say, I want you to know, I think you're wrong. And I say, tell me, I want to hear. And I try to listen with an open mind and gain from it. The fact that maybe the student one day will have an appreciation that that's not the way to say it. Okay, so what? That's his issue. It's not my issue. From my end, if I'm striving to do what's right, so I should appreciate if someone comes and tells me. Look, I'll give you a small example. Last week, I went to get a vaccine. Okay, the flu shot. And they gave me two options. They said, do you want the shot in the arm, the way we always do? Or do you want, I told you guys this, right?
Yeah.
Or do you want an inhalation? And I made a mistake. I made a stupid mistake. I said, I'll take it inhalation because that protects me from 25% more types of flu. But that was stupid. That was a mistake because by doing that, I became contagious. So technically, I don't know of anyone that this would affect. It only affects people undergoing chemo, people with a weak immune system. But as I left the coupe, I said to myself, how do I know who I'm sitting next to on the bus or on the train or in shul? So why would I do that? Because I was initially thinking, how do I protect myself better? I wasn't thinking about me being a walking, ticking time bomb, you know, who knows who I can infect. I didn't think about that. That wasn't what I was thinking about. Now, if someone would come to me as I walked out of that and say, you know, that was really a not nice thing you did, I'd be appreciative. You know, does it matter if he's a student or he's my teacher? I need to learn. I made a mistake. It only dawned on me afterwards. If I would have thought of it earlier, I wouldn't have done it. My mistake. I'm saying the fact that in a relationship there are ways things should be said, that's the other party's issue. If I'm real, if I really want to move forward, that shouldn't interest me. That's not my issue. What?
You cannot study. If somebody came full of angry and something and hate you or something like that and tell me even a truth, you cannot hurt that guy.
I can't hear you.
You cannot what the guy?
Here?
Here.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, if you're tuned to King David's level, you can.
So, even if we talk about King David and Edomi. So then David think that Hashem put the egg to stay.
Right.
Not the egg.
That's what he wants. That's stress level, right? What he says is rest of, yeah.
So in this case, when somebody came to me and said, you're stupid, okay, I'm more than you know about me. But why you tell like that? Who are you? Or what?
But those are two questions. Those are two questions. Whether he should be saying that or not is his issue. If my issue is that I want to move forward in the world, so that's my issue. If it's my son, I have a mitzvah of chinuch, so then Okay, I'll talk to my son that that's not a way to talk. But if it's anyone else, so he might have his issues, so he's got to work on it. But I can benefit from listening to what my issues are. Now, I want to add another point. We have a hard time with this today, and that's why it's a little bit difficult to implement practically, because most of us, most of our generation is not healthy psychologically. Meaning, 150 years ago, people didn't need as many shrinks. People were much more confident about their right to live, and people had far less issues with themselves.
Knew who they were.
I don't think it's only a question of knew who they were. They also felt they had a right to exist and a right to enjoy life. And what's happened is that today people are depressed and people aren't at good terms with themselves. So when someone comes and starts giving them over the head, he can destroy them. Like, you all heard the story of the Mashgiach and you thought to yourselves, wow, this is terrible. Yeah, that's because we have such a frail ego, because we're not healthy. If we would be healthy enough, emotionally, psychologically, then such an occurrence would be difficult to swallow, but you move forward. And what's happened in the last half a century, I'm not sure why, but what's happened is that society, at least Western society, has developed a breed of man that's very frail emotionally and psychologically. And that's where this advice that he's giving us is difficult at best and maybe impossible for our generation to implement. We have a very hard time. We have a hard time legitimizing our existence on a day-to-day basis. The average person spends too much time bashing themselves and too little time giving themselves credit, and the whole system is a little bit out of whack on our day-to-day. You ask the average person, are you happy and what makes you happy? Are you confident? How many times do I have to convince guys and girls that they should not convince the person they're dating not to marry them? Meaning, there were times when every day I'd be sitting with another person telling him, it's not your job to tell the other party not to marry you. You laugh, but you'd be surprised if it's happening day in and day out. You know how many people feel like, maybe she doesn't understand just how bad I really am. And I'm not just talking about frumies. I'm talking about people more orthodox, less orthodox, more observant, less observant. We have issues with ourselves. And as such, this advice is for someone who has a healthy basis, who can look in the mirror in the morning and say, I like what I look. But most people today don't. I had a shocking experience 2 weeks ago. I walked into a pharmacy in Chicago, and there were guys standing next to me. Maybe to you guys this is obvious, this is the first time I ever heard it. And they're talking about something very important, very serious conversation. They're having this heated discussion about how to straighten their eyebrows, these guys. So I never knew. Initially, I asked myself, are they normal? I never knew guys. Right, yeah. So I asked my mother. I was with my mother. I said, is this like normal? Is this what's going on here today? My mother said, yeah, it's the same thing. You know, men want to have their eyebrows just. And they're talking to one another, and one saying to the other, you know, you're just not a man if you don't do it. So initially I'm thinking like, what are they talking about? They're standing next to me on the aisle, and one's talking to the other, and you can see serious deliberation about should he straighten his eyebrows, but he can't afford it and he's going to go into debt and he has his mother's credit card, and this is the serious conversation for 10 minutes, and three guys could stand there in a pharmacy having a serious conversation about, well, if your whole value stems from straight eyebrows or not straight eyebrows, then you have a problem. It's very hard to feel you have real self-worth if it stems from things like that. So I'm giving an extreme example. But the truth is that it's permeated much of our society, and we have a tremendous weakness when it comes to self-appreciation and self-worth. And that's where this advice of the Magen Midubna is probably beyond most people, what we've read so far in this chapter. We'll pick up here, Biz Hashem, at the end of the week.